This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. Chattanooga's Armed Forces Day Parade takes place later this week. Military service units, veterans groups, high school bands, and more will gather for the parade on Friday, starting at 10:30 a.m. at Market Street and MLK Boulevard. Mickey McCamish, a retired Navy captain, is the military co-chairman of this year's parade. Mickey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ray. Thanks so much for having me again this year, as you did last year when we were doing the 71st Armed Forces Parade. Now we're at number 72.
And a year has gone by, this year of the pandemic. Tell us how the parade will take place this year.
Ray, you know, Chattanooga has the longest continuous running Armed Forces Parade in the nation at 72 years. And this year, the parade will be a normal parade. And I say normal parade because last year it was a mobile parade. And that was unique and different in the history of the parade. Everyone was in some sort of vehicle, some sort of moving vehicle. There was no marching that was done. Yes, people were along the streets, lined the streets. That was about the only thing that was normal last year. Last year was a Navy year. And Ray, as you know, we rotate the services each year, and it was Navy year last year. And because it was the pandemic, and since we were not able to use Navy assets, then the committee decided to roll that over again here in 2021. But believe it or not, the same thing has occurred again. The Navy is very COVID-19 sensitive, and especially after what happened aboard the carrier Roosevelt with several high-ranking senior naval officers, basically their career ending because of the handling of COVID-19 aboard the Roosevelt. So this year, it's Navy year, but there will not be any Navy assets, like a Navy band, for example. Those assets will not be participating in the parade this year because of the sensitivity to COVID-19. But it's 72nd parade, and it will slip off at 10:30 hours from ML King and Market Street Friday, May the 7th. And, you know, we do the parade on the first Friday in May. Naturally, Armed Forces Day is the third Saturday in May, but we do here in Chattanooga do it on the first Friday. And the reason we do that is so schools can participate. And that takes me back to my high school days at Chattanooga City High School. Schools were let out for the Armed Forces Parade. We all marched downtown. And I can remember marching in the parade in 1958, 1959, 1960, the years that I was at City High School. This year, we've got right now, and it's probably grown since I checked, we're at about 125 entries into the parade. I think it just continues to show the patriotism that exists in Chattanooga of companies, people, different organizations wanting to participate in this parade. And the parade, again, steps off at 10:30 in the morning, ML King and Market Street, for about an hour-long parade. And then the parade is followed with a luncheon at the Chattanooga Convention Center. And that luncheon starts at noontime.
Even though Navy assets won't be there, you, in your role with the parade and your background as a Navy man, there will be some sort of presence.
There is. The Navy Sea Cadets, matter of fact, will lead the parade off as a color guard. And we'll have Vice Admiral Ron Etchinson, who is retired Navy. He will be participating. We were able to get a special Navy release for Commander Jones, Commander William Jones from the Navy Operations Support Center to participate in the reviewing stand. The Navy will have a presence there. Congressman Mark Green is going to be the keynote speaker. He's Army, but he also participated in the capture of Saddam Hussein. And he spent about 6 hours interviewing Saddam Hussein. So there's a strong military connection. In addition, he was also nominated for Secretary of the Army. So he was nominated for that post. So even though he's not Navy, there is still the service connection with Congressman Green. And so it'll be good to have the congressman here to talk about his experience in the military. He is a veteran. He was a major in the United States Army. So he will be our speaker. And you know, Ray, the luncheon will be just a little different this year. And I say that because I had in past luncheons, I'd sit next to Mr. Coolidge. And of course, that chair will be empty this year.
And Mr. Coolidge would be Charles H. Coolidge, who was the oldest living recipient of the Medal of Honor when he died last month, the age of 99. This parade comes so soon after that.
It does. And Mr. Coolidge really, Sergeant Coolidge, he really enjoyed this parade. He participated in it for a number of years. He was at the luncheon at every opportunity he was physically able to come. He was at all the luncheons. And I sat next to him on several occasions. And so this year at the luncheon, in recognition of Mr. Coolidge, his not only his achievements within the military, the Medal of Honor, but also his achievements within our community itself. There'll be an empty chair there that will recognize his presence.
Where can people go online? Where can people call for more information?
They can go online to chatareaveterans.com. It really stands for Chattanooga Area Veterans.com. And online, right, they can still get the parade application. Gosh, we'll take parade applications right up until the last moment. We want to include everyone that wants to be a part of the parade. We want to include them in the way that they feel most comfortable. Certainly, if they'd like to purchase a table, then the tables are $200. Well, that reservation form is also on the Chattanooga Area Veterans.com website. So they can get both pieces of information right there. And if they have any problem, then they can even give me a call here at 423-756-2212. And we'll get them the information that they need to be a part of the parade.
All right, Mickey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray.
The weekend after next, the Lula Lake Land Trust will host the Mountain Miler Race, the running and mountain biking race on Saturday, May 15th and Sunday, May 16th will raise funds for conservation and trails at the site. Gaston Farmer is with Lula Lake Land Trust. Gaston, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Ray.
Tell us more about the Mountain Miler.
As most people have experienced, last year we realized that our fundraising was going to differentiate from years prior. And we thought it would be a unique way to offer an opportunity to maximize enjoyment, low impact recreation, provide the opportunity for conservation and to highlight our efforts towards conservation, and hopefully to educate some people about what we're doing. And so through that, the birth of the Lula Laker and Mountain Miler race was created.
Describe it for us.
So one unique thing about the Lula Laker Mountain Miler race is that it is one of our fundraising events. And so all of the proceeds go back to our mission in protecting the Lookout Mountain Plateau and the Rock Creek watershed. And with that, the Lookout Mountain Plateau offers really unique, diverse ecosystems. And so we want to offer the opportunity for those who enjoy running, mountain biking, the ability to really enjoy the surrounding regions and for them to traverse these beautiful sceneries of old conifer growth forests and lush rhododendron forests, along with having a good time as well in a safe and responsible manner.
Take us through the course.
The participants are going to have a pretty tough climb on the first about mile or so. And then they're going to navigate through what's known as our Moonshine Network. And that's a network that is open to the public 24/7, essentially. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Moonshine Network, that's a network that Lula Lake Land Trust actually developed ourselves. And it's got approximately 8 miles of trail on that network. And then they'll descend into our core preserve. And that is essentially our gem on Lookout Mountain, really our bread and butter and what most people think of when they think of Lula Lake Land Trust. The runners will run down to the waterfall and back up, which is no small feat for anyone. And the cyclists will continue back through the more backcountry-esque part, and they'll follow the Rock Creek watershed for some challenging terrain. It will gain approximately 2,000 to 2,300 feet in elevation. There is a 10-mile course offering and an 18-mile course offering. So for those who really want to grit their teeth, they can sign up for the full 18-miler. Or for those that maybe want to tiptoe into this event, the 10-miler is what we may suggest.
What response have you gotten so far?
The response has been really supportive. I think our community identifies that recreation is huge, and we also understand that conservation is huge. And so we've had a long-standing and supportive community for our mission, and they're just continuing to support us.
What's the access to Lula Lake leading up to the Mountain Miler, and then after the Mountain Miler heading into the summer?
a lot of people have the idea that Lou Lake may be open all the time. And we are actually only open the first and last weekend of each month. Those are considered our public access open gate days. And the best way for you to make a reservation is by going on our website and making an in-kind donation, reserving your ability to come visit the Core Preserve and all of its beauty it has to offer. In between those weekends, we are filling the Core Preserve with educational opportunities for community groups or for students and other educational institutions to visit and do hikes along the Core Preserve.
And where can people go online for more information on all this?
If you're curious about registering or just finding more information, you can visit lulalake.org. And through our website, you'll be able to find our events page. And on that events page, it will indicate that there's our Core Preserve access dates for the Open Gate Day access. And then additionally, you'll see all of our events throughout the year as well. And so that would allow you to find the registration for the Lulalake Mountain Miler.
All right, Gaston, thanks so much.
Thank you.
A short walk from our campus, the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, is a recent addition to the city's arts scene. You can find Wavelength Space on Macaulay Avenue. Raquel Mullins is its director and curator. Raquel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us more about Wavelength Space.
Wavelength Space is an artist-run space in town, and we've been open since February of this year. We're now currently running our third exhibition, which includes artists from the Chattanooga area, as well as artists who have traveled or sent work to the space. So the goal of the gallery is to create exhibition opportunities for Chattanooga artists that place their work in conversation with artists who are working with similar concepts, but from the national community.
And you are an alum of our campus, UTC.
Yeah, I am. So I graduated in 2012 with a degree in art education, spent some time teaching, and then went back to school for my master's. And I've actually spent some time in the past couple years teaching in the art department at UTC. But now I'm kind of taking a slightly different direction.
What inspired you and your husband to create and open Wavelength Space not long before the pandemic?
Right. We had been looking for a building in the Chattanooga area that could house not just my creative aspiration for the gallery, but also for my husband's business. He is opening a recording studio in the same building that Wavelength Space is shared with. So I'm lucky that I get to, that we both get to kind of pursue a creative pursuit out of the space. But I would say that in graduate school, I went to the Art Institute of Chicago, graduated a couple years ago. And during my time in graduate school, getting my MFA in Chicago, I spent a lot of time in artist-run spaces and visited a lot of like artist-run galleries in Chicago, whether it be an apartment gallery or a space in an old warehouse. There was just a really rich scene of galleries being run by artists that were not like galleries that we have many of in Chattanooga. And so that was a new experience for me. And I really wanted to bring a taste of that kind of bigger city gallery culture to our city, and also kind of give the agency or the, what do you say, like opportunity to show a wide range of, whether it's emerging artists to mid-career artists, in kind of a themed exhibition setting to the city, just to add to our art scene.
And how have you had to adjust? How have you and your husband had to adjust with Wavelength Space during the past year plus of the pandemic?
Well, we found the building we wanted to work out of off of Macaulay Avenue, really close to campus, UTC's campus, in the fall of 2019, and it was just a brick shell. So we had to do quite a bit of renovation, and the pandemic definitely slowed down our build out of a space and also the kind of planned startup date of running the gallery and the recording studio. Construction on the space was kind of at a high peak when the pandemic hit last spring. So it definitely slowed down our progress on being able to open the space, not only from a build out standpoint, but also from being able to start exhibitions. So we delayed several of our shows that were supposed to open last year, and some of that programming will happen this summer. And then we deemed it would be probably okay to start in February if we just limited our numbers. So right now we're opening with events where people sign up to make an appointment to come view the space, and we have no more than 10 people in the space at one time.
And then you mentioned the summer, but what do you have there now, and what do you have as the month of May unfolds?
Sure. So right now we have an exhibition called Residual Dwelling, and it is a group show of four artists, myself included. And Residual Dwelling refers to artworks that are exploring different themes of home or making home within a wide variety of work. So we have installation, painting, and kind of what we call expanded paintings. So they're not just rectangular, but they're made with a lot of different mixed materials. And two of the artists are from out of town. One of them is from Portland, Oregon. The other is from Houston, Texas. And then myself and Victoria Sauer are, of course, from the Chattanooga area. It's exploring notions of home, migration, what it means to make a home space while you're on the move or moving through different home space. It deals with memory and family connections, and also connection of the body to a home space.
What's been your inspiration in the art that you have created lately, in the art that you have encountered lately, and sharing that art there at Wavelength Space?
Well, my work for the past couple years has been an exploration of my childhood and the 40 places or dwelling places that I spent time in. So I moved around quite a bit as a kid and into adulthood. And so a couple years ago, when I was in my graduate program, I decided to start making drawings and paintings about the places that I've moved through. And so two of the works on view in the show right now are a little bit more current. They're a larger scale than that series of drawings that I just mentioned. But there's also a few of those drawings of childhood homes in the space as well.
And where can people go online for more information about Wavelength Space?
Right now, we're on Instagram at wavelength_space. And we'll have our website soon, but Instagram is our primary way you can find us and book an appointment.
All right. Raquel, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots. This afternoon from the Isis Theatre in Asheville, we have the first half of a set from Ultrafoe. From Baltimore, the quartet led by guitarist Michael Joseph Harris, with Kristen Harris playing violin, Steve Carler playing rhythm guitar, and Zach Page playing bass, plays what they call Django Reinhardt-inspired music.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. The first few songs we played were original songs. The first one was from the new record, Tangent, and that one was called Jaguar. And then we played a couple from other albums as well. Geez, I just want to thank everybody for being here. It's wonderful to play for you right now, after being on hiatus for more than a year. We're going to continue with a little take on a classic tune called Sheik of Araby, but it's called Sheik of Airbnb. It's my own my own melody. Same chords, though, right? Thank you.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, we're going to do a classic Django Reinhardt song. One of the only videos of him playing with Stefan Grappelli in black and white film. J'attendrai. Thank you. before Django Reinhardt discovered jazz in Paris around 1930 for himself, and changed guitar playing completely. He played waltzes on banjo in musette halls, and I'm not going to play a banjo, but I'm going to play a waltz. This is a really cool traditional waltz by Chanchu Vidal. He's a great guitar player from the old days, and it's called La Gitane.
Truffaut playing in the Isis Theatre in Asheville. The complete set with video is on the Isis Theatre Facebook page. We'll have the second half of this excellent set next Monday here on Scenic Roots. This is listener-supported public radio from Chattanooga.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.